In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see these things that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Another year has come and gone, and we find ourselves together here in this place for another Christmas Eve. There are the familiar songs of the season to sing. There is a table with room enough for all to be fed, the gifts of God's extravagant grace. And there's a sermon that'll have a beginning and an end, and if we're lucky, those two things will be really close to one another, right? But let's face it, we know why most of us are here. We're here for that magical moment that comes later in the service, candlelight. You know, I look around and this sacred space already seems full. Full, of course, with our presence, but the saints are here too. Those people who have gone on before us, but whose presence permeates this space still today. Memories of Christmases past, held in the crevices of our minds. This room, no doubt, of course, filled with our bodily presence, but crowded also with the hopes and fears that saturate the very living of our days, the joy and the grief that we bring with us. The stuff of our hearts is spilling out into the atmosphere. This night, into this already full sanctuary, we add candlelight and song, participating in that experience that seems to transcend all spoken language, dimming the lights, holding our candles for all to see. This is a night to dream. Here at University United Methodist Church, our worship theme all throughout Advent and Christmas has been dreaming. The Christmas story reminds us, it tells us that we are all dreamers, like those gathered around the manger. We come on a night like tonight each year with awe and wonder and holy imagination about what is possible. I hope that this evening is a time when you can dream. Consider all that has come before this moment. Consider all that might come, to pause and dream. I hope you can dream. That is my prayer for you. But let's face it, it's hard to dream these days for a great number of people, for a host of reasons. It can be difficult to dream, can't it? Nightmares come during the day from just about every direction. The broken relationship, the diagnosis from the doctor, the job that dried up, death that came too soon, a life that doesn't feel well, very lively some days. I want you to know that if you find yourself this evening at the end of a year that has been difficult and draining, you are not alone. And the candlelight and the song that is to come comes for you. And there is a whole wide world out there that is also in need of candlelight and song. Walls being built and bridges that are in short supply, whether literal or figuratively. Those longing for a safe new home, only to be used as pawns in a cruel political game. The rights of women and members of the queer community on the decline, while hate, fear, and control seem to be on the rise. The rich getting richer, and the numbers of unhoused persons growing, wars around the globe that never cease, and bearing the burden of all our madness is the children of the world. You know, biblical scholars will actually tell us that this is not unlike the world into which Jesus himself was born. It was a harsh time. An unholy empire that was hungry for more power, leaders taking counting and calculating to benefit the economic machine that kept control in the hands of a few, counting all the people, not because each life had value for them, but because they valued some life over the others. Corruption of all that stood for good, destruction of all that stands for life, Jesus born at a time when children the likes of him were under threat. Now we're told by the gospel writer that we just heard, the Gospel of Luke, we are told that upon his birth, Jesus's own mother, Mary, pondered all of this in her heart. And we picture Mary, don't we? We picture her as pretty and perfect and put together as our best Christmas cards, not a hair out of place and all cleaned up. If Mary is pondering, we imagine her sitting quietly with her hands folded and perhaps placed gracefully on her lap, head tilted down with a calm expression on her face. But here's the thing, friends, here's the thing. Mary hasn't just finished yoga class. She has just given birth. And I think of all the places in the scripture that confuse me, it's verses 6 and 7 in this chapter of Luke where I have problems. Verse 6, the time came for her to deliver her child. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. Now, I'm just here to tell you, I've been in the delivery room when babies are getting born, and there is a lot that happens between those two verses. All That's Left Out prompts us to picture this scene like the movies. You know how it is where the woman goes into the hospital to give birth and then it cuts to a commercial and the next scene, some nurse is handing her what looks like a cleaned up 3-month-old baby. But joking aside, Mary and Jesus have experienced the messiness of birth, participated in the whole painful process of labor. If you find it hard to dream this evening, then maybe that's because that's how it works. Daring to dream involves the mess of sweat and the pain of tears. Jesus was born and Mary pondered it all. In the Greek, the word that the gospel writer Luke uses here in Greek for ponder is worth noting. It comes from combining two different Greek words meaning with and to throw together. So the Greek word is sombalo, and it means literally to throw together. So when Mary is pondering, she is taking in all of these different things that are being thrown together. The miracle, the beautiful miracle of her son's birth, alongside the terror of the day. The hope and promise that her child brings to the world alongside the hopes and fears of all the years. And I reckon that our lives too are crowded with a number of things being thrown together. Joy and sorrow, the daily grind, the daily news, the ups and downs. And I'm not sure tonight what dreams, hopeful, broken, or otherwise, you bring to the manger this day. But I do know that they are all held in the heart of God. And I know that this baby whose birth we celebrate this day comes with him a promise that we have every reason to believe that the light will come. Mary pondered. In other words, she didn't solve, she didn't fix all that's thrown together. She only allowed herself in the midst of it all to set her sight on the child before her who shines. So may you and I, may we too turn our faces towards the light. And whenever we find it hard to dream, may we trust that the great dreamer of all dreams enters in. Amen.